From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
Into prayer today for this, the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. Oh God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that pursuing what you promised, we may share your heavenly glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our children's time this morning is led by Annie Wolford.
I'm going to have a couple of volunteers. Are you ready? Hold on. You don't even know what we're going to do. What if I said eat worms and you just raised your hand? Oh, you're going to eat worms? You had worms? Well, sorry to hear about that, bud. Okay. As soon as I touch your shoulder, okay, raise your hand. Okay. Oh, no, Nora, put your hand down. I didn't touch your shoulder. Okay. Ready? Okay, now Emma, touch his shoulders. Okay, now Hazel, if I touch your shoulder, Emma's going to touch your shoulder, okay? Now raise your hand. Touch your shoulder, Emma. No, put your hand down. Okay, if I touch your shoulder, then Emma's going to touch your, or if I touch your shoulder, you're going to raise your hand. And then Emma's going to touch you, okay? Okay, touch your shoulder. Okay, now I'm going to touch your shoulder, then you're going to touch Hazel's shoulder, Hazel's going to touch Meredith's shoulder, and Meredith's going to touch Nora's shoulder. You ready? Touch Hazel's shoulder. Shoulder. Now raise your hand, Hazel. Okay. Okay, now. Okay, so was it easier whenever Emma touched Jess's shoulder and he put it down, or was it easier when Jess touched your shoulder and all your shoulders got lifted, or all your hands got lifted up? There you go, Chloe. Good job. So that's kind of like forgiveness. It was kind of pointless that I was even touching Jess's shoulder. You can put your hands down. It was kind of pointless that I was even touching Jess's shoulder because Emma went through and put it down. So forgiving somebody, it's a lot better. This world would be a lot better if we all forgave each other and worked that way instead of somebody putting a block in it. Does that make sense? Kind of like Emma. She put a block in it. So, let's see here. Whew. Just like in the story in Matthew, the servant worked against the king's forgiveness and everyone suffered. So, they suffered. Poor Jess had to put his arm up and down, up and down, up and down. Right? Is your arm tired? Okay. So the Bible says forgive how many times, guys? Do you guys know what the Bible says about how many times to forgive? Okay. A zillion. Okay. It doesn't say seven times, but 77 times. Okay. So let's pray. Dear God, forgiving everybody and showing grace of Jesus, we forgive no matter what, just like you did. Amen.
Our special music is by the Good Vibrations Bell Choir. It's an old-time gospel medley. The choir is led by Becky Snyder.
Oh.
Testament lesson is read by Beth Danf, and it's followed by the gospel lesson and his sermon, A Lesson on Forgiveness, presented by our interim pastor, Reverend Gene Ma.
Our first lesson today comes from Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, 'Forgive, I pray you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now we pray you, forgive the transgressions of the servants of the God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he reassured them and comforted them. Here ends the first lesson.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Then Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often shall I forgive? As many as seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. And for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of the slaves released him and forgave him the debt. But the same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' And then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused, and then he went out and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. And then the Lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a Sunday school teacher talking to her students about forgiveness. And she said, "Our lesson for today is on forgiveness. I want you to tell me, what is the first thing you have to do to be forgiven?" And one little boy raised his hand and eagerly said, "Well, I suppose the first thing you have to do is sin." Yeah, first you have to sin. Well, today's readings, we find some real lessons on forgiveness. And we see how God heals with forgiveness and how we are encouraged to be forgiving people. We have some golden examples in our readings today to guide us. The first story from Old Testament, Joseph and his brothers. You may know that story well, but let's take a little look at it here. You know, the truth is that Joseph had been Daddy Jacob's favorite from way back. You know, that's bad psychology to pick a favorite. And it's bound to rub off on the brothers. You could expect a few nasty remarks, a few bloody noses here and there, maybe a fight or two behind the barn. But nothing like what would have happened. And when he got that coat of many colors, the resentment just continued to build until these brothers covenanted together and threw Joseph in a hole and left him there to die. But a slight change of heart, they sold him to a passing caravan, and he became a slave in Egypt. Well, things did not go well for Joseph in Egypt, at least not at first, and he ended up in jail for a crime that he did not commit due to the nastiness of his master's wife. But by strange working of God's providence, he became prime minister in Egypt. He helped Egypt prepare for and get through a number of years of famine. Grains were stored up to meet their needs as well as even more. And guess who comes begging for food? There come his brothers. They had heard there was grain in Egypt, and they were on their knees begging him for food. They did not recognize him, but Joseph did. And he toyed with them a time or two and finally revealed himself to his brothers. The family was reunited, and reunited again after quite a number of years. And how happy Jacob was, thinking that his best son was dead and now is alive. But now for today, our story is that Father Jacob had died, and the brothers were fearful again. What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him? You know, Papa Joseph had told the boys, ask Joseph to forgive you. Ask him for all the crime that you did against him. And well, when they came and said this, Joseph wept and the brothers wept. And I imagine there were not just a few tears shed at that time. And the brothers fell down trembling and said, we are here as your slaves, your servants. And they wondered, what will it be from Joseph? Will it be vengeance? Will it be forgiveness? And Joseph says, do not be afraid. Do not bow down to me. I'm not God. And then the magic words, even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. So have no fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he spoke kindly to them. See, God has a way of turning things around. And thankfully, Joseph trusted God's greater perspective. And the doors were opened up for forgiveness. Well, we can ask, you know, what happens to our own grudges in life that we may have against others? We also may have been personally wronged in such a way that does not, as we would expect, deserve forgiveness. And we cannot simply say, forget it. And when we're on to receiving things like Joseph, it's tough to let things go. But then it's time to turn and back to God. You know, if anyone had been the brunt of insult and rejection, anybody had been wronged seriously and repeatedly, if anyone has the right to hold a grudge, certainly it is God. He created the world and he created us and he placed everything that we needed here to answer our needs. And then we go and play Adam and Eve on him. Then we may try to be God and we disobey and in the end again play Adam and Eve and try to hide ourselves from him, and we summed it up by saying, well, God, I was afraid. Well, we need to come crawling on our knees like Joseph's brothers, looking at our inner selves and saying, like the psalmist reflected, O Lord, if you should mark iniquities, O Lord, who can stand? But thankfully, the psalmist continues, but there is forgiveness with you. See, our God has a better plan. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. And he repaid it with his redeeming love flowing from a cross. Why would God do that? Why would God do that for us? God has a way of bringing good from evil, even in our lives. And he helps us to walk in the newness of life, and he uses us in new and creative ways. And he encourages us to take another look at each other. And as scripture reminds us then, It says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. This is the model to live by. And that's what we learn here from Joseph. But our lessons of forgiveness are not finished yet. The gospel leads us on. Good old Peter gets involved again. And he asks Jesus, well, if another member of the church sins against you, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I mean, really, the Jewish law said they had to forgive three times. And he doubled it and threw in another one for good measure. Sounds good to Peter. Well, what do you think, Lord? Good enough? Ah, Peter, let's up it a bit. Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. And there are some manuscripts that indicated 70 times seven is what it said. Multiply that out. My math says 490 times we should forgive. Well, try to keep track of that in a record book or in a computer or an Excel spreadsheet or whatever you have. I'm fairly certain that forgiving 490 times or 77, whichever it is, and then pow, you give it to the person, is not what Jesus had in mind. There is a person who wrote, whoever counts has not forgiven at all, but is only biding his or her time. See, it is extravagant forgiveness that God wishes from us for one another. Unlimited forgiveness. This is the lesson that he's trying to teach. You must forgive until you know that you have been forgiven. A pastor recalls teaching a class of the Lord's Prayer and came to that petition, and forgive us our sins or our debts as we forgive those who sin against us, or if we forgive our debtors. And a woman in the class offered a story. She said a few years earlier she had been caring for an elderly woman, and in the course of her work she did something that she really should not have done. And she went to the woman and asked for her forgiveness. And the woman's response was simply, I'll forgive you this time, but not a second time. Well, that was good enough, but after a few months, she did something else for which she was ashamed. And she really needed to ask for that woman's forgiveness again, but she remembered that earlier response and was afraid to approach her. However, she could not live with herself. And so she braved this potential storm that was by appearing before this woman. And she said, I know that you told me months ago that you would not forgive me a second time, but I must ask for your forgiveness again. And she waited patiently for that response. And the older woman looked at her and smiled and said, what do you mean again? I forgave you for what you did. That's wiped away. That's gone forever. We're starting over again. Of course I forgive you, but I won't a second time. See, forgiveness wipes the slate clean. No counting. No, like 77 times counting. That is the spirit Jesus wished to find in his disciples. We may like to follow the three strikes and you're out principle. Peter had the seven strikes and you're out. But the focus on Jesus is not on limits, but a new way of life. It pins it down with that parable of forgiveness that followed then, that king who wished to settle accounts, and this person owed 10,000 talents and begged mercy to forgive him his debts. So a forgiven person then goes and he claims money owed by another, 100 denarii. And he would not forgive him, and he threw him in prison. Now, you try to compare the two, and they tell me that 10,000 talents could be worth 50 million denarii. See, it was an enormous debt that was impossible for him to ever repay, and he was forgiven. The 100 denarii, that would have been possible, but he had no mercy. See, the forgiveness was not learned, and so perhaps in a way that he could learn, he was handed over to the authorities until he paid the entire debt. I guess we could say that he was probably in there for life. So the search is on for a forgiving heart. We all have our examples where we have seen forgiveness happen. One that came my way was when I attended a church convention one time in Detroit, Michigan, and one of our speakers was Martin Luther King Sr. And where we were seated in our delegation of the assembly, we weren't very much farther away than maybe some of these that are about a third of the way back, and he was speaking there. By the time he spoke to us, his son, Martin Luther King Jr., had been killed. Martin Luther King Sr.'s wife was also killed, I believe he said, while she was playing organ in a church, shot. And he stood there talking to us, and he said, "I have no animosity or malice in my heart against the perpetrators of these crimes. They have been forgiven. The courts will take care of the rest. No animosity, no malice." See, the tough question is for us, how can we talk forgiveness? How can we talk forgiveness in a community of grace to a world that does not always understand grace as we do? We may understand vengeance and bitterness better, but the world provides justice and has a role to do this. Forgiveness goes beyond justice, or Joseph would have thrown his brothers in prison. I give thanks every day for the gift of forgiveness and hope that you can also. Forgiveness is not an option, but an absolutely essential for a community to survive. It is said that forgiveness is more like motor oil than it is fine china. You know, fine china is something that we only get out of the cupboard once in a while and use. But motor oil you need every day, and it helps to prevent problems. Even in our cars that we use to come here today, without motor oil, we may not have made it. Yeah. Forgiveness is more like motor oil than fine china. So may you take the lesson on forgiveness with you today, and may God forgive us, heal us, and strengthen us to be forgiving people. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.
We also want to announce that our church is hosting a community fundraising walk for the Salvation Army. It's October 1st, that Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock at Proctor Park at the Lions Club Shelter House. If you would like to raise money by walking or make a donation, you can call the church office at 796-4885.